So I'll be talking about the spiritual nature of horror films and B films. No, you can all hear me okay, right?
Yeah.
Wow, do I even really need to talk after all those rich insights and ahas and all that stuff? You know, I was sitting there and just dawned on me what an incredible privilege it is to be able to come together with kindred spirits. I mean, maybe you don't take it for granted, but sometimes I take it for granted, you know, because I'm around it so much. But what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to come together and fellowship and connect with truth, you know, with the vibration of truth. And I'm just so grateful just to be here. And I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about how your problems are your answered prayers. And I know at least one gentleman came here because he thought that was a really strange topic. Like, really? Seriously? And you know, it's funny, too. I went to Agape this morning, and Reverend Michael was speaking. Do you all know Michael Beckwith? And he gave my sermon. He gave this sermon. He literally said, your problems are your answered prayers. And he started saying, and I'm literally thinking through my notes going, he just did that part. What, you know, I'm just going to bring his tape and play it, you know. But there is, you know, there's that synchronicity that, you know, there's a theme that's moving through, especially during our times when there seems to be lots of problems, and it's easy to look at them and think they're problems and not recognize that a problem isn't meant to be solved. A problem is calling for you to evolve. And, you know, where this first came home to me many years back when I first got on the path, I was very, very sincere, very diligent, and I just dove in, and I was meditating and praying and fellowshipping and going to church and very devoted. And, I had been an actor, and I slowly but surely got out of acting. And things were going well for a while. You know, things, you know, you have those ahas, those insights, those demonstrations, and you think, wow, this stuff really works, right? And I was really diligent. I was praying to really know abundance and to really get connected with God. And about, you know, 9 months into this, I started to notice that I was out of work. And, I was living off of savings. But, you know, I was praying, you know, to know abundance, to know God. And pretty soon I was broke. And I was like, okay, let me try this prayer then and this affirmation, this meditation. And pretty soon there was bill collectors, you know, and the phone was ringing, and I had much more month at the end of my money. Anybody ever had that experience? suddenly I was standing in my apartment. I was like, what the heck went wrong here? I mean, I was faithful. I was praying. I was meditating. I was doing the affirmations. I was going to church, I mean, like 5 days a week, and my life has fallen apart. And it finally got to the point where, I mean, I really had run out of all of the human means of support. I really had nowhere else to look. And I laid down the gauntlet to God. And I sat in my meditation chair and I said, God, either this is real and you're real or you're not. And I'm going to find out one way or the other tonight. Because I'm not going to waste my time anymore if this stuff isn't real. And if it's real, I'm not going to walk around doubting it and not believing it. And so I sat in my meditation chair. By the way, anybody ever had that feeling? Like you kind of lay the gauntlet down to God? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, just want to make sure I'm not the only one. And I sat in my meditation chair, you know, and I prayed and I meditated, you know, and the sun went down and the crickets came out. And at some point in the middle of the night or something, this insight dawned on me where I realized I had made my savings account my God. I had been leaning on it, depending on it, looking at it as my source, as well as employers and different things like that. I suddenly realized and this awareness came that if you make anybody or anything your source, the universe is set up for that to betray you. If you make anybody or anything your source but God, it will betray you. I was like, wow, that's interesting. Okay, and I kept praying and meditating, you know. And then at some point, a little bit later, maybe early in the morning, I was there for a long time, folks. I was serious. I wasn't getting up until I had some kind of realization, some kind of click. And that click came, And this sort of peace came over me. And I crawled into bed and I went to sleep. I woke up the next day, and for the next couple of days, I was noticing that I was feeling kind of peaceful. I wasn't so anxious about things, you know? Still didn't have my rent money, mind you. Still didn't know how I was going to support myself, but I was feeling, you know, kind of okay. And then a call came, and it was my former agent, commercial agent. And he said, okay, I know you're too spiritual for commercials now, because I decided that I was, and I got out of all that, you know? He says, but they called looking for you. Casting director called looking for you. It's this big spot for Pepsi. Again, I know that you're too spiritual to drink Pepsi, but it's a big spot, Cindy Crawford, all this stuff, and they called for you. Will you do it? And the little voice in my ear said, yes. And so I said, yes. And I went on the audition, and I got the job, and I booked it, and it was split into two commercials, and I made like more money in working for those 2 days than I did the whole year before. Now, the point of that story is not, wow, he demonstrated tens of thousands of dollars or whatever. That's not the point, but that's usually where we put our attention. That's what we think the real demonstration was. The demonstration was that out of that experience, out of that crisis, out of that problem, that I was, by the way, trying to pray away. Anybody ever do that? You have a problem, you try to pray it away? Out of that problem, like a chrysalis, like a crucible, I was forced to get down with God. I was forced to get down with this stuff. And we all come to a point where we come to some kind of an initiation, and we usually have more than one, where we got to get down with God. We got to get down with this stuff. And and in that experience of having nothing to lean on but God, of having my proverbial back against the wall, I had a realization of a peace that passeth human understanding. I had a realization of my source being more connected to the invisible than the visible. I was leaning just a little bit more on the invisible than the visible. And guess what? That was what I've been praying for, to know God, to know abundance. Real abundance is not money. Real supply is consciousness. Supply is consciousness. God is consciousness. And that's what I've been praying for. Now, I didn't want to have the problem, but that problem was necessary to crack me open. And, you know, we've been taught to, and by the way, ever since then, now, because of that initial experience, I've had several experiences where that's occurred again, where I've been called to live a larger vision and sort of was unwilling to step out, whether it was getting an office for my business or taking out my first ad, or, you know, which was like, oh my God, I have to spend $300 for an ad. It was the most money in the world at the time, you know, and then crises began to happen and I finally stepped out, or buying my first house or whatever it was. I was being called to live a larger life in a larger context. And when I didn't respond to that, didn't let that flow through, a crisis occurred or a problem occurred, the meaning of which had something to do with me getting a deeper realization of this invisible source. So we've been taught to solve problems or try to get rid of problems, right? Or pray problems away. And it's kind of like the analogy, there's certain seeds in the forest that require a forest fire in order to create enough heat to cause them to germinate and crack open and begin to grow, okay? So if this seed could pray, it would pray, you know, dear God, I just want to grow. I just want to be more my real self. The answer to its prayer would be a forest fire, okay? Now, if it could pray, as it saw that forest fire raging down on it or was burning up in that conflagration, what would it probably pray for? Please, God, put this damn forest fire out, right? Anybody else prayed to have some forest fires put out in their life? Okay. So, but ironically, if it had got the answer, it was praying to get rid of the very opening and opportunity to get the thing it had been praying for. You follow me? Okay. Now, and if it got its wish, it would remain a seed and never fulfill its potential. And there are a lot of problems that we're facing in the world and at home that we're trying to pray away, we're trying to solve, and it really is the seed of our potential. You know, another example is like the acorn. You know, if the acorn could pray, it would probably pray to maintain its protective shell, and, you know, just like if it could vision board or whatever, you know, be the best acorn in the forest, you know, be the best nut in the forest, God. I want to just be like, you know, the cool nut. And if it got the answer to its prayer, what would start to happen? This inner pressure, this inner tearing, this crisis where the shell starts to get broken, its protective shell, its identity. It has to die to being an acorn in order to become an oak. If a caterpillar could pray, you know, the same thing. It'd want to be have the best caterpillar body, maybe a great caterpillar mate, the best caterpillar job in the forest, you know. And if it got the answer to its prayer, and all the other caterpillars looked upon it with envy, wow, that is one successful caterpillar, it would have actually failed at fulfilling its destiny, which is to become a butterfly. And when it's flying above in a whole new context of life, all of those caterpillar condominiums and cars and whatever aren't going to mean a whole lot anymore, okay? And so often we're praying merely to improve our present state of humanhood, merely to improve our limited self-image. And so we might get more abundance, get a better job, make more money, but we just become broke at a higher salary, right? We're just broke at a higher income bracket. Because no real transformation has taken place. We've just expanded upon our limited self-image, which is, by the way, one of the reasons why the law of attraction, that's one of the problems, is that we use all these things to enhance our self-image, which is based on limitation and reactions and all that. And my response to that is what I call the law of emergence. And that's the realization that we're already the thing itself. The oak is already in the acorn, but you don't really know. The acorn has no idea it's what it's about to get into. You have no idea what is in store for you. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what is in store for those that love the Lord. When you love God, when you love truth, when you pray diligently and sincerely to grow spiritually, look out, because some stuff's going to get shaken up. That shell's going to have to break open for you to be able to emerge to be the mighty oak that you're meant to be. That caterpillar body of yours is going to have to liquefy into a chrysalis so that you can begin to be reshaped and reformed and grow wings, okay? And so the challenge is that what's going on is that we live, we're infinite. We are infinite beings living in an infinite universe, but all of that infinity can't be experienced all at once. Okay, there's like a mechanism of consciousness to allow us, like the aperture on a camera, to take in just a little bit and a little bit and to grow from glory to greater glory. You know, if the camera didn't have an aperture, it would be all light. It would just be like whoosh, and there'd be no picture, right? It would just be washed out. You'd never get to experience the beauty of the landscape. Well, there's an infinite, eternal landscape in this land of I am that we're living in. But in order for it to unfold, it goes through a process of step by step. And we're already living in heaven. We're already living in paradise. If you notice in Genesis, it says that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and a sleep fell upon them, and nowhere does it say that they ever woke up. This thing we call our human experience is what's called the Adam dream, or the Adam and Eve dream, to update it. And so we're living in this dream, which is really a concept about reality. It's a concept. We have self-concepts. We have concepts about God, concepts about the world, concepts about ourselves, concepts about others, and those concepts become experience. That's what it means. Now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We don't experience ourselves or each other or life. We experience our perceptions about it, okay? Now that's okay. There's nothing wrong with the acorn. It's not bad because it's just an acorn and not an oak. Okay, it's not bad that you have these particular concepts right now and that eventually they have to crack open in order for something more to come through. And that's really the mechanism that's going on. That's really what the mechanism behind a crisis or a problem is, that you've prayed to be more. You've prayed to know greater abundance, greater wealth, greater health, just for the more of you to come through. And what's happening is that the minute you pray, by the way, it's answered. Bless you. It's always answered. The minute you pray, you're blessed. The minute you pray, it's instantly answered, because the prayer itself, there's no such thing as a prayer and the thing. That sincere burning desire means desire of the sire, of the fathering principle within you. Those burning desires are the thing itself trying to emerge. If the acorn could have a burning desire, it would literally be the oak trying to press up through it. So your burning desires and burning prayers are the proof that you've already got the thing, and the prayer is literally the opening and the activation mechanism by which the thing gets set into motion, okay? But here's the thing now. So you've got this big idea, this big vibration you just set into motion, trying to squeeze itself through that limited self-concept, right? And it's trying to move through that channel. And so what does it have to do? It has to get in there. It has to start, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, right? It has to start shaking and breaking apart these old concepts, these limited beliefs and feelings and histories and stories and judgments and all these things, which again, you're not wrong for having them. It's just you've outgrown them now. You've prayed to be more. You've desired to be more. So as it comes through, as it shakes that stuff up, you start to feel the anxiety, the stress, the worry, doubt, the fear, and it starts to become experiential. You experience the problem, project it into your experience, right? But the meaning of that experience is always what? It's about letting go of some limited concept. And what happens is that we've identified with the shell of the acorn. We think we're an acorn. We think our concepts are true. We think our experience is real, and so we hold on to it. And, you know, there's another saying that says, choose ye this day whom you shall serve, God or mammon. God, spiritual values, or mammon, material values. Or you could say higher spiritual qualities or lower vibrational qualities. But you have to make a choice. At a certain point, you have to make a choice. Why? Because you cannot serve two masters. A house divided cannot stand. And to put that in vibrational terms, when you've prayed for more abundance, and the reason you're praying is because you're experiencing some degree of lack, which means you have some concepts of lack. Well, everything unlike that prayer must come up and come out. So it's kind of like you're driving in one direction with your hand out the window holding onto a signpost pointing in the other direction. And as you pray more and desire more, it's like putting your foot on the gas. And you start accelerating, okay? And now pretty soon, you're gonna start having a problem, right? You're gonna have to choose what are you gonna do? You gotta let go of something, right? You've all heard of Abraham, the teachings of Abraham? They talk about it like this. They say that when you have a desire, it's kind of like you're driving down the road, and if you don't have really a strong desire or a strong prayer, it's like you're just going a few miles an hour, and there's a boulder in the road, and that boulder is this limited concept you have or some opposing idea to your desire or your prayer. And a few miles an hour, you kind of just bump into it maybe and you kind of move around it, right? But the more you desire, the more you pray, the more you increase the velocity of that vibration, you're accelerating. Now you're doing 100 down that road and you hit that boulder. Now what's going to happen? It's not going to be pretty, right? There's going to be an accident. You're going to have a major crisis on your hand. And that's what happens with us. And we wonder, why is things getting worse and worse and worse? I'm praying and praying. You know, I was praying and praying and praying, but I was still holding on to my bank account and looking at them. Every time I felt a little nervous, I thought, oh, I still got my bank account. Okay, I'm fine. And that became my God. And I'm praying for more and more abundance, and I'm accelerating. And I start to get a little bit nervous. I'm going a little too fast. And, oh, I still got my bank account. Right? It's getting a little lower, but I still got enough for the next 2 months. You know, I could still manage for the next month. Anybody ever done that, right? You know, you're kind of projecting out, well, I can still make it for the next few months. You know, where's God in that picture, right? And so eventually I hit a boulder, I hit a tree. And the message and the meaning of that crisis or that problem was it's time to grow. It's time to let go of some of these limited concepts. And, you know, some examples of that, you know, let's just say you're praying for more love in your life or a better relationship, but you're still holding on to, you know, some unforgiveness, maybe some condemnation of others, some regret of past relationships. It's not just me, right? I'm not the only person that has those kind of feelings. Just checking, because you guys are pretty high here, you know. So understand that that vibration of love, that vibration of a greater love and a greater expression, it literally can't coexist with the vibration of enmity or regret or resentment or unforgiveness. It's nothing personal. It's law. It can't coexist. And it's not about adding anything to us. We cannot add anything. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to their stature? You're already whole. You're already complete. You're already infinite, individualized expression of all that God is. You're home. You're whole. It's done. The kingdom is finished. But it's unfolding from glory to greater glory, and this is the process, okay? So, but you can't hold on to that idea. And it's kind of like you're not adding anything, you're letting everything go. It's kind of like Michelangelo and the David. You know, if you're familiar with that great sculpture, the David. You know, Michelangelo saw the completed masterpiece already in this block of marble and chipped away everything that wasn't it. And our job is to catch a vision of this completed masterpiece or the masterpiece of this particular prayer answered, to catch it, to see it, to feel it like a great artist like he did, and then to begin chipping away everything that wasn't it. And that's those limited concepts, limited thoughts, limited feelings. And so you're not trying to make it happen. You're trying to let this stuff go. You're trying to make it welcome. And what does that mean to make it welcome? It's like I use the analogy of, let's say you wanted a polar bear to come live with you, but you lived in the desert in a hut with no air conditioning and your ice maker was broken, you know, whatever, okay? Now, is that a welcoming condition? Is that polar bear gonna be attracted to your place in the desert? Probably not, right? Now, if you manage to force that polar bear into your hut with no air conditioning, what's gonna happen? Every chance it gets, it's gonna try to run away, right? Now, who's ever had the experience? You make a little money, and the first chance it gets, it's out the door. You make a little money, and your car breaks down. That money does not wanna stay with you, right? Am I right? What gives here? It's like, you know, it's trying to escape every chance it gets because there's not a welcoming condition for it. There's not a welcoming vibration for it, okay? You have to create the welcoming conditions for it. If you want to have more abundance, you have to look at. And there's another saying that says, what is it? Where two or three are gathered in my name in agreement, there I am, or it is done. You've all heard that before, perhaps? What that means in metaphysical terms is the two or three or more is like your subconscious, your conscious, your words or your conversations, your feelings, your actions, right? Three or four components, your subconscious, conscious, your words and feelings, or your feelings and your thoughts, your words or your conversations and your actions. Well, when these are in alignment, when these are congruent with your prayer and with your desire, then you create the welcoming conditions. Those are the two or three or more that are gathered together in agreement, and then it's done, and there it is. Because it's already here, you're already it, but you must become a mental equivalent. You've all heard that term. You must become equal to, you, as it says, pray believing that you already have and you will receive. Again, it's just law. It's the mechanism. Because I used to always question, why doesn't it just happen? Why do I have to go through all this? Because again, if it just happened, you'd experience all of infinity right now, and like the light coming into the camera without an aperture, you would never be able to experience it. So this is the mechanism. So glory to glory, you have to open up your aperture, align your vibration with this next level of vibration that's trying to emerge, and then it unfolds. And so, you know, so you look at your life where you're praying right now, where you have some crises. And by the way, if you look at your crises, anybody have any problems or crises in their life? Anybody? Okay. Just take a moment to think about those. Do they seem to be the opposite of the very things you've been praying for? And do you notice that they've gotten maybe even a little worse in some cases where you've been praying? Right? By the laughter, I know that we have some agreement here. Okay. So now you want to look at those, and we're going to do this in a minute. But just think for a second, you know, simply. Your conversations around that area, let's say it's abundance, you know, are they in alignment with your prayer to be more abundant? Or do you find yourself talking about how bad the economy is, agreeing with the radio talk show host or whoever, because everybody says it? Do you find yourself having those conversations and commiserating with other people and being like, oh yeah, it's so bad, oh yeah, you too, oh yeah, and you feel a little bit good in your badness, right? You kind of feel, it's like, you know, it's like when you're sick and just keep pulling the covers over my head, there's kind of this comfort in your tolerated misery, right? And misery loves company and all that stuff, right? And you feel a little good, but, or maybe you've got a relationship issue, you know, that person did you wrong and they betrayed you and nobody's gonna tell you that you gotta forgive them and I'm gonna pray, you know, to have my better relationship because I'm better than that and all this stuff. And you may be justified, but your justification don't mean one whit to God. God could care less about your justification, and you cannot make a demand on the universe that exceeds your belief about it. You know, it's like people that walk around and say, you know, there's no good men out there left or no good women out there left. And then they're praying for a good man or a good woman. It's impossible. It'll never happen. You know, the economy sucks. You know, the economy's terrible. There's not enough jobs out there. Oh God, you know, I'm just affirming and knowing that the right job is showing up. Ain't gonna happen. You've just set the parameters. You've just said there's not any jobs out there. And the universe is going like, which way do you want, man? You know, you just affirm that there's not enough. Now you're affirming there is. And you know, kind of, we're a little bit insane. You know, we're a little bit, and so you have to become congruent. Your conversations, your inner conversations and your outer ones. Your actions, if you look at your actions, would they say those are the actions of an abundant person? Those are the actions. If a person was peering over your shoulder and saw you taking actions, would they say, wow, you're rich? Would they say that? Or would they say, would they be thinking, wow, that person's really struggling. That person must be out of work like me, you know, whatever. What would people say about you if they overheard your inner conversations or your outer conversations or your actions or your feelings? Do you feel the way a person would feel if you had whatever your prayer was? You know, because you got to have the feeling. You know, we think, well, I'll be happy when it happens. No, it happens when you're happy, because the feeling tone, the vibration of truth, the vibration of abundance, the vibration of wholeness, the vibration of love is the substance of the forms of abundance and love. It's not separate. It's not that feeling of love causes a better relationship. That feeling tone of love or abundance is the substance, is the reality, is the very spiritual form of that relationship. And as you hold to that and that becomes embodied, it literally outpictures in this three-dimensional holographic dream we call human experience as a more loving relationship. But it's not separate, you know? Materiality is mind in solidity, and the mind is the materiality in liquidity. It's one thing going on. There's not a you and your experience. There's not a subject and an object. Your whole experience, and you guys know this, it's kind of like metaphysics 101, but we need to be reminded, because we still, in this hypnotic spell, we fall into the delusion that we're separate, and there's a me over here, and I'm praying for something over there. No. The acorn doesn't pray to attract an oak to it, you know, and thinks it can stay an acorn and get an oak too. How many people here do that, right? We pray to change the world and stay the same, right? It doesn't work because there's not a world out there. This whole universe is in your consciousness. You're not in a body. Your body's in your consciousness. You're not in a relationship. Your relationship is actually in your consciousness. You're not in a church. This church is an idea in your consciousness. You're not in the world. You're literally walking around. You're just a point of awareness, literally moving through your own infinite consciousness, your infinite God consciousness, experiencing personifications of your own spiritual being called people. That's all you. There's nobody out there but you. There's only one of us, and we're experiencing all the different dimensions and ideas of us. We're already in heaven, but we're experiencing our concepts of them. So that's a whole nother topic. But it's pretty cool, huh? I mean, it's pretty awesome when you think about that, you know? And it's empowering to understand that there is no power outside of you. There is no power outside of your consciousness. Your consciousness is the only law, the only cause, the only power unto your entire universe. There is no person, there is no law. As Jesus said to Pilate when he said, you know, I have the power to give you life or death. And Jesus was like, yo, dude, just gotta correct you. Thou couldest have no power lest it was given thee from above. Meaning from consciousness, from God consciousness. None of these experiences could. But in order to claim that power, you gotta become congruent with your thought, your word, your action. Have to become in alignment with your greatest prayer and your desire. So let's just take a moment. Would it be okay if we just take a moment and actually just do a little bit of work in that area? Would y'all like to do that?
Yes.
Close your eyes just for a second. We won't do long, but I want you to be able to start creating the conditions for that polar bear to come live with you of your own choice. So just close your eyes for a second and just get comfortable. Just take a deep breath. And just think about one of your burning desires or big prayers. Maybe something you've been praying for a long time. Maybe look at your life and see where the opposite of that is expressing. There's a problem or there's a crisis perhaps. Maybe you've prayed for work, but you're unemployed. You've prayed for a relationship, but you're alone, or to improve your relationship, but it's gotten worse. Just look at that area. And just become aware right now of your habitual thought patterns around that particular area. If it's abundance, are you constantly worrying about will you have enough, thinking about when things will get better, trying to plot and scheme and figure it out? Are they the thoughts of an abundant person, or are they the thoughts of a person in lack? Without judgment, again, there's nothing wrong with the acorn. It's just that it's emerging to become an oak. So all these thoughts you may have are not bad or wrong. They're outdated now. You've outgrown them. That's why you're experiencing a crisis or a problem. Just become aware of, you know, those habitual thoughts. And then become aware of your conversations in this area. Again, if it's abundance, you know, are you having conversations around the water cooler or coffee machine or wherever you hang out? Are they conversations about your vision and what's possible? And you know that there's more millionaires made during recession than any other time? Or are they conversations like, oh, did you hear the latest job report? Or, you know, whatever. Just be aware. What are your conversations? Where do you seek agreement from others? Do you seek others' agreement in how good it can be or how good it is? Do you seek their agreement in what's possible? Or do you seek agreement around your limitations? Remember, where two are gathered in agreement, there it is. Do you maybe even find yourself arguing when somebody tries to say, no, you can do better. There's possibilities. You find yourself arguing, no, you don't understand where I come from, man. You know, you don't understand what I've been through. Are you arguing for your limitations? Because if you do, then surely they will be yours. Just be aware of your thoughts, your conversations around this area. And then become aware with compassion. We're just gaining awareness. It's the first step to freedom. What are your actions around this area? Like I was saying before, I remember there was a time when I had a movement to expand my business and I had to take an ad out. It's gonna cost me $300, and I resisted that for the longest time, saying I couldn't afford it. I don't have $300. It was like half my rent. But there was a movement. There was an oak tree trying to emerge in me. And my mentor finally said, if you believed all this truth stuff was true, what would you do? I'd say, I'd take the ad out before I could even think about it. And he's like, then that's what you have to do. That's your practice. You have to act as though it's true. Act as though I am and I will be. Are you acting as the abundant person you're praying to be? Are you acting as the person in the more loving relationship? What are your actions? If somebody could peer in on you, what kind of a person would they say you are in this particular area? Just become aware of it. You know, is your spiritual practice meditating a little bit in the morning and then spending the next 23 hours worrying and fretting and looking for a job or trying to get a date? Or ultimately, you want to get it the other way around, where you spend your majority of your time focused on the vision, focused on the quality you're trying to embody. Just be aware of that right now. How much time do you spend thinking about and speaking about and feeling about and focusing on the vision and the quality that you're trying to embody and become versus how much time you spend on the opposite of it? And as you become aware of these things, perhaps you begin to be aware that it's not a surprise that you have a problem. It's not a surprise that your prayer hasn't manifested yet, but understand that this problem is the first stage of your answered prayer, whose meaning is for you to let go of these old concepts, ways of thinking, being, feeling, because there's an oak tree trying to emerge. There's a butterfly trying to spread its wings through you, but it can't coexist with those lower vibrations. So now just take a moment and become aware of one new thought you can begin to embody and activate and focus on and practice that is in alignment with your prayer. And become aware of one area in your life where you can begin practicing keeping your conversation in heaven, keeping it aligned with your prayer. Maybe it means when those people start talking about how bad it is, you just don't say anything. Or maybe it's you walk away. Just look, where is there a place where you can begin practicing high conversation? And finally, is there some action that's seeking to emerge through you? Not to make it happen, but to make it welcome. In other words, it's a symbolic action that is in effect saying to the universe, I'm going to step out on the invisible in faith, believing so that the universe can fill it in. You're not trying to make it happen. It's already happened in your consciousness, but as you take the action, you open up the door to pour it forth. So is there some action? And you know that there is something. There's something that's been moving through you, that call you need to make, that letter you need to write, that conversation you need to have to heal something, that song you need to write, whatever it is, there's something, that ad you need to take out, whatever it is. And it probably won't feel too comfortable, but you know that you're supposed to do it. And the person whose prayer is answered would be the person who does it. So you're willing to step in to be that person now. So just take a moment and just allow a feeling of commitment. Feel a sense of enthusiasm and a willingness to engage and align these areas of your being to become congruent with your prayer and your desire. And feel that energy of commitment. If you've ever felt it before, engage it now. And in your own heart and mind, say, I'm willing. In fact, say it out loud. Say, I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to grow.
I'm willing to grow.
I'm willing to let go of the old stuff.
I'm willing to let go of the old stuff.
And I'm willing to step into my larger life.
I'm willing to step into my larger life.
Once again with feeling, I'm willing to step into my larger life now. Take a deep breath. Just feel the energy of that commitment. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And again, I just want to remind you that we're already in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is spread out everywhere, but eyes, having eyes, you do not see it. Having ears, you do not hear it. Let there be light. We're already living there. We're already there. You're already it. Who by taking thought can add one cubit to their stature? You can't improve yourself. You can't improve the universe. You can't improve the world. You're just experiencing limited or erroneous concepts about yourself and the world. And as you pray, what's going to happen is those limited concepts are going to bubble up. They're going to confront you. And some of them you're going to think are real and true. You're going to want to fight for them, hold on for dear life, not want to let go of that protective shell. Just be ready. Be prepared. And then remember that your problems are your answered prayer. And get excited. Oh, another problem. Yes. I'm about to know God more. All right. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm in a crisis, baby. A good crisis is a terrible thing to waste. Right? I'm in a good crisis. Ooh, how's your life going? Ooh, I'm in a good, juicy crisis. And you know what it means? It means I'm about to spread my wings a little bit more. It means a little bit more of the mighty oak of my being is about to break through this shell that I've been living in. It means I thought I was this little chick, but I'm about to, in this little cramped world, I'm about to crack out of this shell. Oh, it means I'm about to know God more and live my destiny more. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Can you get excited about your crises?
Yeah.
The crises message is that Christ is.
Yeah.
Crisis, Christ is. The Christ is, and it's trying to emerge through you. Your life is like Michelangelo's marble and the David. You need to look at that block of mortal stone and catch a vision of the masterpiece of God that is trying to unfold as you, and then say, all right, let's get to work and chip away everything that it's not until the masterpiece is shining in all of its majesty and glory. Are you willing to be the artist of your life?
Yes. Yes.
All right, then let the show go on. Thank you. Thank you.